Excellent. Excellent. Very good. Good, good, good. Amen. Amen. That's great. Well, welcome to LifeGate. Glad you're here. Glad you decided to spend your day with us, your morning at least, and glad you're here. And for all the places that you could have gone and been, and things you could have done today, you're here with us. And we sure are grateful. We're thankful. And hope you'll be around a lot more. It's good to see each and every one of you. God bless you. I want to talk today and for the next several weeks about the power of words. Power of words. Words carry power that I don't think we're aware of. I think that we need to be more aware of the words that we say either bring life and God's creative power, or they bring death and the enemy's destructive power. There's power in the words that we speak, in the words that come out of our mouths. They change the course of our lives. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, it says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." There's life and there are death in the words that you speak. And the things that you speak, anybody that speaks, anybody that talks, anyone that talks, will eat the consequences of the things that you say. You create a world in which you live. And the Amplified Bible, in that same verse, it says this, in Proverbs 18, 20 and 21, we're going to read that, "A man," or a woman, a person, "a man's self shall be filled with the fruit of their," or his or her, "mouth." In other words, your whole being, your spirit, your soul, your body, yourself, the words you speak are going to affect your entire being, your spirit, your soul, and your body. And with the consequences of their words, he or she must be satisfied, whether good or evil. And verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life." Anyone who indulges in talking, anyone who participates in talking, will have consequences coming from the words for which they speak. There are consequences that we create. There are situations that we create with words that we speak. And every single person that talks experiences these consequences. Your life is determined by the words by which you speak. Our entire being, our entire self is this way. Words can bring forth accusation. They can accuse a person, or they can edify and bless a person. Words can make us laugh, or words can make us cry and sad. Words can bring forth healing, or bring forth hurt. Words can teach truth or teach lies. Words can bless and words can curse. Words create gossip or words stop gossip. You see, your words will bring you a victorious life, or your words will bring you a wasted, destroyed life. Life and death are in the power of your words. There is a power in our words. Words create the worlds in which we live. The cosmos, the system, the arrangements of things, the consequences of your life are created by your words. So that's the title of my lesson today. Creating your world. You create your world with your words. If you have your Bible, and I hope you do, turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Now, we're going to be looking at a lot of verses today. So, if you want to turn to any of these, then of course you can, but I really want you there. I'll be there in about 20 minutes or so. And I really want you there, though, because I want to show you something. I want us to see something together today. And if we'll be finding Ezekiel chapter 37, I'm going to pray for us. Father, let us find today. Let us discover today the power that you've given each of us through the ability to speak words, that we can speak our future, our fate, we can be justified or condemned, that we can speak to darkness and cause it to be light. We can skip to low places in our lives and expect them, Lord, to be raised up and be high places. And Lord, I ask you today to encourage every person here to speak positive words. Words that bring forth life and not death. Words that will edify and not condemn. Lord, help us now. As I go forth to sow the seed, let it fall upon good soil. Lord, let it bring forth 130 and 60-fold. Lord, let it bring forth life. Let it be accomplishing the thing that you're sending it forth to do. And I ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Words affect us all. If you indulge in words, if you're alive, words affect you. There was this blonde who went to a Broadway play, a Broadway show, and she was sitting there, and the performance of this particular show that she went to was a ventriloquist. The ventriloquist came out with the dummy, and he sat on the stage and had the dummy, you know, and he was doing his act and his things, which was a routine on blonde jokes, on dumb blonde jokes. And so he went through his act, and of course the blonde was there, and after a little while, she stood up and enraged, and she started yelling and profanities and all sorts of things, and says, "Why do you make me look so dumb? Why do you cause the media to make me look dumb? Why do you make me look ignorant before all of my friends?" And she went on and on and on for a long time. And finally, the man said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry. This is just a joke. You know, we're just having some fun here." She said, "Shut up. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to that idiot sitting on your lap." Some words. Some of you just need to get up. Some words. color hair? Words affect us. No matter what color of hair you have, whether you're redhead or brunette or blonde, no matter what your position in life, whether you're intelligent or you're a dummy, you know, words really affect us, and they cause consequences in our lives. They create consequences in which we live. They create the worlds that we live in. We learn this principle from the Word of God. In fact, the very first book in the Bible, Genesis, in the very first verse of the Bible, says this: "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." That's the first verse. The second verse says this: "But the world was without form and void." The earth was without form and void. "And darkness was upon the face of the deep." In God's world, the world and the time of God and the creation of God, this was a dark time. I don't know exactly what happens between verses 1 and 2. There's all these theories, but what is happening right now in the existence of God is a dark time, a void time. And so God said, "I am going to bring forth life back to this earth." And then in verse 3, it says this: "And God said, let there be light." That was the first day. See, you and I are oftentimes, and some of you right now, are going through a void time in your life, a dark time. Your world, your earth, is darkness, and it's void right now, and this, it's not good. Don't know what happened, don't care what happened. There's all kinds of theories. You can blame this person or that person. That's pretty irrelevant. What we need to do is learn how to create it back again and to bring forth light into your darkness and life into your voidness. And so what God did was He started speaking to His world. He began speaking every day to His world. And the first day, He says, "Let there be light." And then there was light. And then the second day, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 6, it says again, "And God said." And then the third day, it says it again, twice. "And God said, and God said." God began speaking to His world the way He wanted His world to be. And then the fourth day, "And God said." In verse 20, it says, "And God said." The fifth day. Every day, God would speak to His world. And every day His world would change. And His world would become more and more and more what God wanted. Because He began speaking to His world. And then in verse 26, "And God said, let us create man. Let us create the people in our world that we want." So you speak into your life, into your world, the people that you want there. You speak
You're created by words. And whatever your voidness is in your life, whatever you're going through in your life, whatever dark time is in your life, whatever darkness is in your world, the way you will change it, the way you will make your world what you want, is by speaking to it. This isn't hyper faith. This is the Bible. You speak to it. You create a world that you want. In verse 31, in the King James Version, it says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and it was very good." But I want you to see this from the New Living Translation, because I think it is just so cool the way it says it. In Genesis 1:31, the New Living Translation, it says, "Then God looked over all He had made, and He saw that it was excellent in every way. And this happened on the sixth day." See, if you want a world that is excellent in every way, you've got to learn to speak out of the dark times of your life, out of the void times of your life. Speak to your world so that you can create the world that you want. God created the world He wanted by speaking words to it. Because life, help me, and death are in the power of your words. You speak to your world, and your world becomes what you speak. And you don't just speak on Monday, or on Sunday, or on Tuesday or Wednesday. God spoke first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. Every day God spoke to His world until He had the world He wanted. And you and I, every day we get out of bed, we got to start speaking to our worlds. Because death and life and the words you say. You create the world in which you live. You create the consequences in which you experience by the words you speak. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, let me show you quickly how this works. Just real quick, easy example. How many of you have ever probably lost your temper somewhere along the way, or maybe known someone that did, you know, and out of that person or out of you came this river of anger. And in this river of anger came all these words. All these hateful, mean words. And you were finding yourself saying these things that created consequences that you had to live in. You know, I have seen people speak things and lose their jobs because of words of anger or things that came out of them, things they said. I've seen people lose marriages because of words they spoke. People have lost their lives, their very lives, because of things they would say. Words are powerful. Words create consequences and worlds in which we live. Cosmos, the arrangements of our lives, are created by the words by which we speak. What are you speaking? What are you saying? What are you setting as a destiny, as a future, as a fate for yourself? How many of you really believe that's true? How many of you really believe that words you say have consequences that you're going to have to eat the fruit thereof? Would you raise? Sure! And I'm hoping by the time that we leave today that we will have that power of those things that we say amplified in our lives, so that when we go out of here, we will begin training ourselves to say nothing but good things, nothing but positive things. Not only about yourself, but about your family, your marriage, your children, your finances, about people, about your preacher. About everything. Because you're going to have to eat the consequences of it. Because death and life are in the very power of the words that we speak. We create a world that can be excellent in every way. Or we create a world of darkness and voidness by the words that we speak. Words determine our futures and our fate. Jesus said this in Matthew 12:37. He said, "By your words, you're justified. Or by your words, you're condemned." Now, what that simply means is, by the words you speak, you set your fate in your future. You set the course of your life. You're going to set a life in motion that's going to be justified, or a life in motion that's going to be condemned. And the Amplified Bible says that same verse this way. I like this. It says, "The words you say now reflect your faith then." The words you say now reflect your fate then. Either you will be justified by them, or you will be condemned. And in the Message Bible, which is kind of a new version that I've gotten into lately, it says this: words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. See, words create consequences and the worlds in which we live. Jesus said that words have the power to set the course of our lives. That we can create life to live in, and that more abundantly, or we can create voidness and darkness and bad things. We will never rise any higher in life than the words that come out of our mouth. If you continuously say, "I'll never get out of this mess," you are creating something that you're going to have to live through, and guess what? You will never get out of that mess. If you continuously say, "I am not able to do this, I am not equipped to do this," then guess what? You've already lost the battle before you even begin. Because you will never accomplish the thing that you want to accomplish in life, because you're not willing to change the way you talk. If you say, "I'll never get my healing," guess what? You'll never get your healing. You've got to learn to start speaking those things and saying those things because they set the course of our lives. They set our fate. They set our future. Things that we say. We've got to start learning how to agree with God and create a world that is excellent in every way. And we can do it. And it's done by the power of our words. You can speak the enemy's words of damnation, or speak God's words of life-giving words. If you say, "My child will never change," guess what? Your child will never change. But if you change that, because just as powerful as the positive, "My child was taught of the word, great is the peace of my child," you start, and then your child is going to head in that direction. You start saying, "I'll never get my finances straightened out," guess what? You're going to be in debt to the day you die. Because your words are creating your fate. By your words, you're justified. By your words, you're condemned. But if you start saying, "The Lord wants me to prosper and be in good health," then you're setting the course. You're setting your fate. You're setting those things. You say, "My marriage is doomed to fail," guess what? Your marriage is going to fail. Because power of life and death are in the words you speak. "My mate will never change," your mate will never change. And what we've got to learn how to do is understand that we are creating worlds in which we live. We've got to learn that through the words we speak, we're establishing a fate for ourselves and for our families and for all of those by which we have authority upon. Life can change. You see, we become snared by words we speak. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2 says this: "Thou art snared," look at this, "with the words of thy mouth, and art taken with the words of thy mouth." You see, words that you speak hold you, snare you, capture you, hold you right where you are so that you can never advance in life and experience all the good things that God has for you. They take you to a world that you really don't want to live in. We're snared, we're taken by the words of our mouth. We have to learn how to agree with God. We have to learn, because most of us don't, because we're living in the Bible Belt, or we've heard so much doom and gloom preaching that, you know, we're having to tie a knot in the end of the rope and hang on until Jesus finally gets back. You know, we hear that sort of stuff so long that we don't realize that God is really for us. That God really has a good plan for our lives. And so we have this mentality that He's just waiting for us to mess up so He can whack us. I want to change that, because that is not what the Bible teaches. You are not doomed to fail. You are born again to succeed. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3 that we've got to learn how to agree with God. It says there, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" See, what does that mean? That simply means that if I don't agree with God, if I want God to walk with me, I must agree with Him. I can agree with the enemy and with darkness and walk with him and experience the voidness and the darkness, or I can learn to agree with God and walk with God and experience all the good things that God has for me. See, I've got to learn, I've got to train my mind, train my words to agree with the words of God. I can't experience the goodness of God as long as I'm confessing with my mouth the badness of life. See, I'm a conqueror. In fact, I'm more than a conqueror. See, Romans chapter 8, verse 37 tells me that. It says, nay, no, 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 no. Get it right, get it right, get it right. In all these things, you are more than conquerors through Him who loved you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants you to be the top and not the bottom? Do you believe that God has given you everything you need to conquer whatever situation, whatever trouble you're going through? So you can't walk around with your head hung down and in gloom and gloom and to experience a victorious life. You have to see yourself as a conqueror. See yourself as victorious. Psalms 37 talks about our dreams, the desires of our heart. And sometimes we think, well, that dream will never come true. Well, then it's not going to come true. But how can you walk with God in thinking your dreams will not come true when He says, if you delight yourself in Him, He will give you the desires of your heart, the dreams that you have. You got to walk with God. You got to get in agreement with the Word of God. If you want that dream to come true, you've got to agree with God and not with darkness. Deuteronomy says that you're the head and not the tail, the top and not the bottom. See, God doesn't have a plan for you to be beneath. His plan is for you to be on top and never be on the bottom. That's what Deuteronomy says. And you can't walk with God thinking you're insignificant. You can't walk with God and be in agreement with God and have God walking in your life thinking you're a failure. God's got plans for you. His plans are beyond anything you can ask or think. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for you. We just got to get in agreement with Him and start speaking to our world, and it can become excellent in every way. We can begin to forecast and prophesy our futures and our fates. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says that you can do all things in Christ who strengthens you. Is there anything that the Christ follower cannot do? Is there anything too difficult for our God? And if God be for you, who dare be against you? Come on, help me, somebody here. See, you can do anything. Any heart's desire that you have, anything that you want to accomplish in life, if you begin speaking it, if you begin seeing it, you begin speaking into your darkness and into your voidness and into your world, it's going to happen. You're going to create it. Psalms 34:19 says, you're going to have troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But how many of them does the Lord deliver you out of? So I don't care what you're going through. You have got to start agreeing with God. You'll stay in that trouble until you start getting in agreement with Him and believe that God's going to deliver you out of whatever trouble you're going through. Every single trouble, He will deliver you. I don't care what your life's experiencing right now or what it will ever experience, but if you'll delight yourself in the Lord and if you'll follow Him and get in agreement with God, He'll deliver you out of every single trouble that you face. Every single thing that comes against you. Ephesians 6:16 says this, that finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So you have a power, you have the armor of God, and that's the context of that verse. You have the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have the sword of the Spirit, which is the living Word of God. There's nothing that's going to take you. Nothing's going to take you out. God has a plan for your success, but you've got to get in agreement with God. You've got to get God walking with you. Psalms 5:12 says, for surely, O Lord, You bless the righteous. Does He? Does He bless the righteous? You surround them with Your favor. You surround them like a shield with Your favor. The favor of God is when people like you for no apparent reason. They like you to hang out with them. They want to do things for you for no apparent reason. They just do things for you. They like you to be around. You have the favor of God on your life. You walk into a store and they start giving you good deals. You didn't ask for it. They just start overtaking you. You have favor of God on your life. You got to get up in the morning when you think, you got to start saying, I got the favor of God on my life. Something's good going to happen to me today. There's going to be blessings that's going to overtake me. Deuteronomy 28:2 says, these are the blessings that God has for you. You see, if you'll walk in His ways and get in agreement with Him and walk His way and do what He says to do, the blessings just overtake you. You're not even looking to be blessed. But God's blessings just catches you. See, that's what the Bible teaches us. Isaiah in chapter 54 says that I don't care what the enemy plans to come against you with, whatever weapon he comes against you with, it's not going to prosper. And no matter what anybody ever says about you, no tongue is going to speak evil against you because God's going to take care of you. See, I want to give you some things of the way God thinks about you, what His plans are for you, and how we've got to get our lives in agreement and start speaking into our worlds the things of God. You need to start speaking to your finances. You need to start speaking to your body. You believe that God wants you to be in health? Yes. Do you believe He wants you to prosper? Yes. Then start speaking into your world. John chapter 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "Beloved, oh beloved, I wish above everything else that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." You get your soul right. You get your thinking right. You start thinking along the lines of God. Your whole life, your body, your health, everything's going to prosper. Deuteronomy tells us that He has given us the power to make wealth. See, God doesn't want you pouring on the bottom. He wants you on the top of your game. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. Some of you have businesses. Yeah, they're supposed to prosper. Maybe they're not prospering. Let's start speaking to it. Start telling it. Listen. Psalms 1:3 says that I'm sitting like a person, but I'm like a tree that's planted by the river, and everything that I do prospers. You need a raise at work. You need an advancement, a promotion at work. Then start speaking to it. Start declaring the word of the Lord to it. Don't agree with the darkness and say, "I'll never get that promotion." You say, "Oh no, everything I put my hand to is going to prosper. This company needs me. I can bring some good things to this company. I got the favor of God on me. My boss really likes me. He might not know it yet, but he really likes me." You see, that's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that God has a way that we can walk and with Him and He with us, and that our lives can prosper. You can't be speaking negative things and expect to live a victorious life. You can't talk poor and have a rich life. You can't talk unhealthy and experience the health, divine health. See, these are supernatural things of the kingdom of heaven. You speak. You command. You know, when we pray, a lot of it is going before the Lord and making our requests be made known unto Him. But listen, into your prayer life, you need to incorporate prophesy into your world and start speaking and declaring, commanding it as would a king, because you are a king. You are kings and priests unto our Most High God. And we need to learn how to do this. We need to incorporate this into our life. And we need to do it every single day. We need to learn to come into it and learn how to speak into our worlds every single day. Did you know that God never once tells us to go around describing all our negatives and bad things and talking about to people all the bad things that are happening in our lives? Not one time does God ever tell us to confess bad things that are happening in our lives. Now, He tells us over and over again to talk about the goodness of the Lord, to talk about how our lives are blessed. Have you ever thought about why that might be? Why is it that God never tells us, never encourages us to speak what's going badly in our lives? Because you're creating a fate. You're creating a world. You're creating circumstances by which you'll live. Don't do it. Don't allow yourself to do it. Don't allow yourself to talk about how dumb you are. Don't allow yourself to think about how poor you are or how sick you are. You speak the word of the Lord. You prophesy your fate. You prophesy your future. You speak it because that's what God tells us to do. You know, and sometimes it feels good, and I want to bring a balance to what I just said. It's that sometimes it feels good to talk to our friends and our acquaintances about the bad things. We have this woe is me, you know, poor me thing that we want to go through. We want somebody to pat us on the back and say, "Hey, you're going to be okay," and that's what we really should do. But what I'm talking about is you don't need to come home every day from work and pick up the telephone and talk to your best buddy about how bad things are going in your life. Right? You don't need to confess that stuff. Because you create a world in which you live. You create your fate. You create things that are going to happen to you down the road. Dare to speak good things. We prophesy our future. Dare to speak those words of faith, especially in your darkest times. In God's darkest time, He spoke and light came. He spoke and people came. He spoke and His world became excellent in every way. And I want to encourage you today, begin speaking blessings over your life. Begin speaking prosperity over your life. Begin speaking the goodness of your children. You begin speaking... Begin speaking good things. Begin talking the positive things of life. Begin talking about how God wants to bless you. How God wants to heal you. How God has a plan for your success and not for your demise. And so we've got to learn to confess or speak these things or say these things and not only believe these things. You know, we have no problem believing that if someone were to come down to this altar right now and I were to tell them, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you can be saved. And if we heard that person say, pray after me and say, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead, nobody in here would have any problems believing that God had just saved that person. Am I right? Why can't we activate that same faith in all of our lives? Why does it have to be just for initial salvation? Why can it not be for our daily walk in life? He said, because it's more than simply believed, it's got to be spoken. You're not saved until you speak it. Nothing's going to change in your life until you speak it. Look at Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 on the screen with me. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. See, it's more than belief. You've got to confess it. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Do you see that? See, when God created the world that was excellent in every way, when God created the world in which He wanted to have, the world that was wonderful, He didn't just think it. He didn't just believe it. He didn't just imagine it. What did He do? He said it. And what you and I have got to learn how to do is start saying into our world and confessing it. And just as surely as the faith that saved you, the faith that you speak into your world will change your world. It will bring a salvation to your world. Don't just get hung up with the confession. It's just for your initial salvation. Confession is for your salvation every single day of your life. Everything that you experience. Learn to speak to it. Learn that that's what God wants you to do. It's when you speak to things that things will begin to change. There's a wonderful story in the book of Ezekiel, and I hope you're there now in your Bible. But the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, is an interesting story, and most of us have heard it, but it's really fascinating. God took the prophet Ezekiel and showed him this valley of dead bones. Dried, dead bones. Now, some of you are living in a valley where your dreams are dead and dried. Where maybe your marriage is dead and dried. Maybe your hopes of your future, your business is dead and dried, your job is dead and dried. Your family, your finances, but you're looking at it and it's dead and it's dried. Can it live? See, God took Ezekiel and He showed him this valley of dry, dead bones. And let me show you this. If you have your Bible, look at this with me in verse 3. And He asked me, God asked Ezekiel, Son of man, can these bones live? And just like Ezekiel, most of us say, oh God, I don't know. whatever that you're going through, and it looks hopeless. It looks impossible. It can't change. But God's asking you today, can it live? So God told Ezekiel to do something. He told Ezekiel to do something quite interesting. This is the same thing I'm telling you to do today. This is the same thing God's telling you to do today. In verse 4, he says this, "Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." God told Ezekiel to prophesy to an impossible, dried up, dead situation. Speak to it, Ezekiel. I want you to speak into that impossible situation. And what God wants you to do today is begin speaking into the impossible situations that you face, that you're going through, into your valley, into your low place, into your dead spot, into your dead dreams or dead visions or whatever that you're going through right now that needs life brought back into it. You've got to begin to prophesy to it. You've got to begin to speak to it. And not only did he just say prophesy to it, he said to that thing in verse 4, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I want you to hear me. Don't hear what my preacher said. Don't hear what my financial statement said. Don't hear what my friend on the telephone said. Don't hear what my doctor's report said. Hear what the word of the Lord says. You hear what the word of the Lord says. See, you don't care what anybody else has to say, because what anybody else has to say is not going to bring life to those bones. But the word of the Lord. If we can learn how to speak the word of the Lord into our dry spots, into our void spots, into our dark spots, they'll live again. Speak to these dry bones. Verse 5 says, this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath into you, and you will come to life. Bones, you have no options. It's not your decision, bones. It's not your decision, business. You will come to life. It's not your decision, body. You will be healed. It's not your decision, finances and checkbook. You will prosper. You've got to hear what the word of the Lord says. It's not your decision, mate, spouse. You will hear the word of the Lord, and you will live. Is that all right? You're going to live. Verse 6 says, I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you. I'm going to make you start looking good. I'm going to cover you with skin. You're going to be pretty. Spouse, you're going to look good. Husband, wife, I'll put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you'll know that I am God. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? You don't have any options here. Situation, circumstance, valley of dead bones. You will obey the word of the Lord. Because it's not what I say. It's not what somebody else says. It's not what the preacher says. It's not what the checkbook says. It's what God says. Because God is walking with me. We're in agreement on this thing. And you will live. Now notice what happened as Ezekiel began to prophesy. In verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise and a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Something supernatural happens when we dare to speak to our worlds. Something supernatural begins to come together. Bone, this thing starts happening and comes together with this thing, and this thing starts happening and comes together with this thing, and all of a sudden you find a check in the mailbox, all of a sudden you start feeling better in your body, or all of a sudden you get a raise, or all of a sudden things start happening. Things start coming together in your life. Because you dared to speak the word of the Lord to a situation. When something happens in our lives like this, it's supernatural. And God wants us to be supernatural people. He wants us to experience a supernatural kingdom. He's brought us in so we can be peculiar people. so that we can experience the goodness of God. And things begin to happen. Things start coming together when we begin speaking and agreeing with the word of the Lord. Then verse 9 says this. Because it wasn't excellent yet. You see, it wasn't breathing yet. It wasn't quite where it needed to be yet. Verse 9 says, "Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And he told it, breath will come in you, and you will live." Don't stop with one prophecy. Don't stop with Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. Do it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You do it every day until breath comes in that thing that you're speaking to. You don't stop until it's excellent in every way. Don't stop speaking to your marriage until your marriage is excellent in every way. Don't stop speaking to that business until that business is excellent in every way. You don't stop speaking to that child is excellent in every way. See, prophesy, son of man. Speak to it, and it will live. I can't tell you the numbers of times that I've done this. It was in the 70s, and we were building a house. We wanted to build our house debt-free. And I remember the house being framed up, just stud walls around the house. And I would walk around in those stud walls, and I would prophesy. I would speak a roof on that place. I would speak sheetrock on the walls. I would speak carpet on the floor. Now, I had to put some works in my faith, but all of that happened. Not long ago, in 1994, 95 or something like that, I would be out there speaking to the gravel, saying, "You will be paved. There will be a paved parking lot here. I speak every day to this place. I command this place to be filled every Sunday. I'm speaking to it right now to be filled twice on Sunday. Every Sunday morning, I want this place filled just like it is right now, two times." And I begin speaking to it. And if I speak to it, because I know that's the word of the Lord. I know that's His will. It's not His will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, right? Come on. He says, "I want you to go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them of the things that I've told you, telling them about the kingdom of heaven." See, we agree with God. We walk with God. And we begin to speak life to things. And life will come. Life comes because we speak the word of the Lord to things. All that happened. Ezekiel's vision, all those bones came together, and all that supernatural thing happened because one person dared to speak the word of the Lord to it. I want to dare you today. Do you dare to do this? Do you dare to start speaking to your valley of dry bones? Speaking to your dried up dreams, your dried up marriage, your dried up situation, your dried up finances, your dried up job situation, whatever's going on. Will you begin speaking to it? Because if you will, it'll live again. It'll take place. And if God can make a valley of dry bones come together and live, He can surely take care of whatever you're facing. Amen. Whatever you're going through. If God can make a valley of dead, dry bones come alive and live again and breathe again, surely He can take care of whatever you're going through. Surely He can make alive your dreams. Surely He can make alive your life. Speak to it. Begin to command it to hear the word of the Lord. And if you'll stop having a poor mouth, you'll stop having a poor life. Because death and life are in the power of your words. And there are consequences. No matter what color hair you have, you will eat the fruit thereof. Speak life to your life. Prophesy your faith. Say, "I am going to have a great life. I am going to experience the fullness of God." Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life and the power of your tongue." 2 Corinthians 4:13 says something. And I want to look at that. It says, "It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken." And with that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. If you believe, you speak it. And what speaking does is give life to your faith. The spirit of life is in your words. It brings forth the spirit of faith that you have. Therefore, because we believe, we speak. Christ followers, believers in Jesus Christ, are created to speak things, to create things with your words, to create life and not death. That's His plan for you. Speak life to your world. Speak life to your situation. Speak life. Don't let your words describe your negative situation. Let your words fix your situation. Don't let your words create for you things to fix in life. Fix things in life with your words. Learn how to say things positively. Learn how to bring forth the goodness of God and agree with God and not with the enemy. Don't agree with darkness, but agree with light. Stop saying, my boss doesn't like me, and I'll never get that raise, or I'll never get that promotion. Stop saying that. Start saying instead, I have the favor of God on my life. My boss does like me. I am going to get this raise. I am going to get this promotion. The favor of God is upon me. Now listen, need some wisdom. Don't walk up to him and grab him by the neck and start shaking him, you know, and say, you do like me. You are going to give me a raise. No. But you can do it in your car on the way to work. I'm going to have the favor of God on my life today with my boss. I am going to begin approving, getting his approval, his approval, and I'm going to go up in the ladder. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm the top. God has no plans for me to fail here. God has all plans for me to succeed. Stop getting on the phone and talking about your spouse and how badly they're treating you and how bad things are in your life. Instead, start saying, my spouse and I do love each other. He's left his parents. I've left my parents. We're going to spend the rest of our days cleaved together in love with one another. Start saying, he or she is changing for the good. He or she is even getting better looking. I don't know about that part, but the rest of it, you know, you start just saying, listen, I am going to have favor with my spouse. My spouse is going to have favor with me. We're going to have a great life together. And things are changing in our lives. And God will take things and you'll step back and you'll start seeing things start coming together. All of a sudden, bones will come to bone. And things will start forming on it. Don't stop speaking to it, though, just because it's begun. Every day, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, you keep speaking to it until you have the world that's perfect in every way. Have a world that you want because you create the world in which you live by the words that you speak. How many believe this today? See, I believe that this is one thing that keeps most Christ followers from ever experiencing the abundance that they want to have and they experience and that God promises us. Is there's a power in our words that snare us, that hold us back. Stop doing that. And start letting your confession be positive. Start speaking to these things in a prayer form, in a commanding form. Prophesy to things. Realize there's power in your words. Every single person here has power in your words. Realize that you can create an excellent world to live within. Realize that you can prophesy your future and your fate. You don't have to live for a mundane, mediocre life. You can start speaking to it, and it will live. Your dreams don't have to fail. Realize something supernatural takes place when we begin to speak into our worlds, because it's our worlds. Don't only believe it. Say it. Don't only say, I believe the Word of God. Start speaking the Word of God. Speak to your valley of dead bones and watch the Sovereign Lord move in your life and bring you forth a life that you can really enjoy. Allow God to take you places that you don't have any idea even exist. Allow Him to show you things that you don't even imagine you will ever see, because that's what He wants to do for you. He wants to take you places. He wants to show you things in life. He wants you to experience a life that you haven't even dreamed of. You can't even imagine. That's His plan for you. He wants you to have an excellent world in which to live, and to raise your children, and to have your family, and to grow old together with people that love you and that you love. How many believe that you can really speak into your world? How many victorious people do I have here today that are willing to start speaking? If you believe that, give the Lord a shout of victory right now. Amen. 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 Yeah. Yeah. I dare you to do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a song and pray for some people and have some good times here. Amen. God wants to do some marvelous things in your life. Now listen, I agree with the Word of God. I walk with God according to His Word. The Bible says that I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's right. You can too. If you're sick in your body today, let's get in agreement with Him. Whatever's going on, He says, you're having trouble in your finances. It's not my will that you have trouble in your finances. It's my will that you prosper and be in good health. It's my will that you make wealth. That's my will for you. God has a plan for your marriage to be successful. God has a vision for you to everything that you do in life to prosper. You prosper at work. You prosper in your business. Whatever that you do. What are you going through? What's your valley of dead bones today? What are you looking at that a valley in your life that you need to raise up? Let's speak to it right now. I want you to come down. Whatever that you need prayer about, I want you to come down. And I want whoever prays for you and with you to speak to it. And you command it to live. You command it to hear the word of the living Lord. And you quote a verse to it. And you tell it. Listen to what the Lord says. You will live. Amen. Now listen, some people in here may not know Jesus Christ. I've given you just a short taste of the things He has for us. He wants you saved. And if you'll confess and believe in your heart right now, God will save you. And you can start living an abundant, victorious life. Maybe you've gotten away from Jesus. That can be fixed right now too. Just simply believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. God will save you and bring you back in. I want everybody in here to pray a prayer with me. Just a prayer of faith. Just receiving the Lord just like we just quoted from Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. If you'll pray that prayer, your life can begin to change. And you can begin to speak to your world and create your world that is excellent in every way. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Save me. I confess with my mouth that You are Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised You from the dead. I receive You now as my Lord and my King. And I'll serve You for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And if you did that, now you're translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son.